together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, letting you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road. Can't proclaim this is Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust you had a great weekend, rested yourself, and now set for the rest of the week. If you want to give us a call at any point on the show today, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So there is a health and wellness initiative going on that I have some special guests to speak to today. And the acronym for it is CAP. CAP. And so I'm interested to learn more about this health and wellness CAP that's going on. And unfortunately, I see 6859, but I don't see a name attached to it. From Doctor's Hospital. Is this my guest now? Your mic is muted. Producer.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mama. How are you?
I'm fine. This is Dr. Jeanette Martin. Yes, I'm with Doctors Hospital.
Yes, ma'am. They gave me a couple of names. I didn't want to say the wrong name. I tried to reach the studio and couldn't get them. But yes, thank you very much.
You are still in Freeport, I'm assuming.
Yes, ma'am.
Ma'am. Studio is Dr. DeRosier.
Dr. DeRosier?
Yes.
Okay, and so we have Dr. DeRosier and yourself today.
Yes, I will speak to the nutritional aspect of the subject today.
Now, you know, when you arrive at an age like me, like I'm 55, and I have to confess, I've never paid more attention to my health than I've paid over the last 5 years of my life. Because you kind of come to understand, yes, how important, not just your physical health, but your mental wellness is, and so forth and so forth. So whenever I am approached about anything having to do with wellness, I'm always keen because, you know, I'm always interested in learning. So there's this CAP initiative taking place. So Dr. DeRosier, you can probably want to begin to tell us what this is about.
She should be in studio.
The producers wasn't picking up when I I'm not hearing. So I called in
from my office here at Doctor's Hospital.
Oh, they're telling me just one sec. I guess they're kind of getting organized.
Yeah. So how have you been? And
yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
The last time I spoke with you, we were talking about wellness.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
Nutrition.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I know that that's you. That's an area of interest for you, and you live a life of health and wellness.
Our conversation was quite helpful to me because I like to tell people. I said, you know, I went and I spoke to the nutritionist at Doctor's Hospital on my visit. And I told her, you know, I'm very fond of sweet drinks when I'm eating. And I said, but she, her approach wasn't, okay, you got to stop that. You said, listen, I'd prefer if you weren't doing the sweet drinks. But what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to do the sweet drink and the meal at the same time because you're going to double up your spike in sugar. And I don't want you to do that. So if you separate the two, you know, that's a little more tolerable, but, you know, and that's what I have tried to do.
Yes, and you've been successful, I'm assuming.
Mostly, for sure. I'm most sure. And it makes a difference. It does make a difference to how you feel after the meal and what have you. So I'm grateful.
Wonderful. I'm glad I was able to help.
Yes, ma'am. No, you were very helpful, very okay, so I think we've got Dr. DeRozier now with us. Yes, ma'am. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm actually at the studio.
Yeah,
you've been here for a while.
Well, we appreciate your patience and thank you for joining us today. So we have this CAP initiative going on. Is it in conjunction with the Ministry of Health?
I don't know. This segment that we're doing over the course of the week really is a promotion of urogyne, pelvic floor disorders, dysfunction, and just really getting out to the community, letting them know, a variety of medical conditions that are associated with this whole umbrella that we call pelvic floor dysfunction. So,
sorry, say it again, that you call
pelvic floor dysfunction. So, pelvic floor dysfunction.
Okay,
so, which include any
totally new term to me.
Uh huh.
Okay, pelvic floor dysfunction.
Yeah.
Okay, and that is what now?
So it's an umbrella under which, you know, any condition that involves the pelvic organs, and so this ranges in anything that involves either the uterus, the vagina, the bladder, the urethra, the sigmoid colon, and the rectum, as well as the muscles that are involved in that space, when there's dysfunction within any of that those realms, rather, there you can have pelvic floor dysfunction. And depending on which area we're affecting, we'll have different signs and symptoms. So they will significantly vary depending. So for the genital urinary tract, which typically involves the urethra, the bladder, et cetera, some of the things that you'll see in within the whole umbrella of pelvic floor dysfunction will be urinary urgency, frequency, urinary incontinence, et cetera. For pelvic organ prolapse, which is also under the umbrella, you'll see patients will have symptoms of bulge. They can sometimes say, you know, it's weird. At the end of the day, I feel like there's a little protrusion coming through my vagina, et cetera. Mm-hmm. If we're looking at more bowel issues, we're going to see things like defecatory dysfunction, things like fecal urgency, incomplete bowel emptying, constipation, pain with bowel movements, et cetera.
So you have a variety of specialists who work around this area of the pelvic floor.
Well, that's what we are here to build.
Right.
We're in the process of building that at Doctor's Hospital. It's an area that has been, underdiagnosed. It's been an area that's underreported, certainly, because there is a sense that these are things that just happen as we age. And certainly we have interventions that can be beneficial. And it's our belief that if we approach it from a multidisciplinary approach, not only are our outcomes better, but it's a better way of managing the patients.
And, you know, I'm glad you said what you said about the fact that so many of us have come to accept the child, you know, I just getting old. So things start to don't work, et cetera. And that's not quite the attitude we should be taking toward things that are happening in our bodies, eh?
Right. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that our population is aging. We are living longer. Kudos to the primary care physicians who are doing a fabulous job of treating diabetes and hypertension. But with that, longer lives does mean that we want our quality of life to be better as well, right? So so things like urinary incontinence, to wear pads, things like, you know, pelvic organ prolapse, where you have tissue or organs that are coming through the vaginal or opening. Things like, you know, defecatory dysfunction, things like chronic bladder pain, things like chronic pelvic pain, they start to be more important, because as we age, we want to be able to enjoy our quality of life.
When it comes to health in this pelvic area, these are some critical organs in this area. And what have you.
I think so.
What are the kinds of things that people ought to be doing to be aware of the issues that can occur around this area, and then to attend to both the health of that area and also to challenges when they arise?
Sure. Great question. You know, so we today are specifically talking about something called interstitial cystitis and painful bladder syndrome. Sure. So I'll focus on that.
You need to say that slowly. I try to teach these people some of these terms so they don't get. So say it slowly for me.
Sure. Interstitial cystitis.
Okay. Interstitial.
Cystitis.
Cystitis. Okay.
Right. So we often call it, now we call it painful bladder syndrome, just because it's a condition that can involve either the urethra, the vagina, the bladder, and oftentimes patients will have symptoms of urinary urgency, frequency, bladder pain, almost as if they're having a urinary tract infection. We find oftentimes when they do the culture, it's negative. And I just want to take a moment to say that, you know, it's really important, particularly now when we have real good access to getting cultures for symptoms of a UTI, that we really should be getting cultures if we think that there is a true UTI before we just hand out an antibiotic. It's very important before we ask. I want to sort of, you know, really discuss that with the patients. It's so important that before you just say, "Oh, I've got a UTI, I've got another UTI. Can you send me some antibiotics?" We should really make sure that that's in fact what's going on. I think part of the underreporting of these types of disorders, including interstitial cystitis, is that we have in our minds that this is what's going on. It feels like a UTI, right? You've got all the symptoms of urgency and frequency. It may burn a little bit when you urinate. You may feel a little bladder spasm, which is painful, just like you would have in a UTI. So it for all intents and purposes, it feels like it's a UTI, therefore it should be. However, treating interstitial cystitis with an antibiotic is not going to fix the problem. In fact, it just worsens things, because now the bacteria that when we have bacteria in the bladder, the bacteria that may be there becomes resistant to these antibiotics that we're giving on a consistent basis. And now when you do have a true UTI, it's going to be very difficult to address that problem, because we now have had on board all of these various antibiotics. Having said that, it's important to check to make sure that, in fact, when you have symptoms of a UTI, that it really is a UTI. Patients who have interstitial cystitis have all the symptomology of a UTI, but their urine culture, for the most part, is negative, meaning that this is not a bacterial cause. This is an inflammatory cause.
So if I get you right, you might present with what might initially look like sound like a urinary tract infection. But when you go in for, say, diagnosis, you have to be careful that that diagnosis doesn't treat you for that, when in fact it's the inner
interstitial cystitis.
Yes. is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
So that's on, but that's more on the physician, though, in terms of ensuring that they are diagnosing the right issue, as opposed to the patient who is merely going to describe symptoms which you say may in fact sound like a urinary tract infection.
You're right. I think that we all need to do our part, right, in this process. I think patients also being aware of their responsibilities and you know, sort of taking, asking the right questions. And then I think also, you know, sort of not just assuming that this is the process that's going on, and being open to discuss other things. You know, I've had patients who have come to see me and I've said, you know, look, this is, you don't have a UTI. And they're like, well, you're wrong, because I do, because it feels like it, and that's what it is. And so I think being open and having this conversation sets the stage. So there are other things. And we've been doing our due diligence to make sure that our colleagues are aware, and our colleagues have been fabulous at, making sure that they're doing their part, being judicious about antibiotic use. So I think from the physician's perspective, we're actually, you know, on good ground from that perspective. Mm-hmm. We just want to get it out into the community so that, you know, there's not a lot of pushback and people are okay with this discussion. That's the most important part.
I try to read a lot, a lot of stuff on health stuff and what have you. And I am so delighted that y'all are here today, because I had no idea that there was this interstitial cystitis, right? And that itis is really like something's wrong with you, something. So, but I had no idea. And if I had ever had any urinary anything, you couldn't tell me it wasn't, I have a urinary tract infection. And so now what you're saying is you're doing this because people like me get to be armed with more. That when you go into your physician, you can have a more intelligent discussion about all the possible things that could be a problem.
Right. And be open to, you know, the physician saying, listen, we need to get a culture before we just give you the antibiotics. Being okay with, okay, well, you may have to wait a couple of days. I know you're uncomfortable, but these are the signs and symptoms I want you to look out for. And in a couple of days, I'll get the results, and then we'll be able to appropriately manage this. Okay.
Okay. And the cause of interstitial cystitis?
Yeah, great question. There are lots of theories. Essentially, you know, I don't want to bore people with all the theories behind it, but there is a layer called the gag layer. And that layer does a really good job of separating what's inside the mucosa, which is, think of, like, if you think of your gut, there's the mucosa, which is that very soft part, which, you know, the food goes down and it's exposed to lots of elements. Well, the bladder has the same type of structure, right? So there's the mucosa where urine and all of the byproduct that your body's like, I want this out of my system, right? Uric acid and et cetera. And so that part really should be, you know, sort of watertight and have no connection to the basement membrane layer. It's not important to remember that, but just to remember that they're two separate components, right? Where the nerves and all the vessels live are really separate from where the stuff that's leaving your body have access to. And the thought process is that layer that separates the two is disrupted for some reason. Now, there are lots of theories why that can happen. Your body, you know, inappropriately recognize some of those cells as foreign, like sometimes in other autoimmune diseases. And so as a result, there are small gaps or opening in that layer so that things that normally would never get down to that basement membrane, to the basement, right, are making its way into it and causing increased inflammatory reaction. And that's what's leading to the sensation of a UTI, right? Urgency, frequency. So there's not a bacterial source per se, but there's an inflammatory source.
Dr. Martin, when we come back, can we talk about the nutritional issues around this problem and what all of us could do nutritionally to help ourselves?
But definitely.
Do so on the other side of the break?
Definitely, Mr. Lang.
Okay, great. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to ZLive. I'm Shivago Lang, your host, and I'm here with guests from Doctors Hospital, Dr. Rosier and Dr. Martin, and we're talking about interstitial
cystitis.
I'm gonna get this. We're talking about that. We'll be back after this break. You're not alone. All of it, you feel like you make it down the same road.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, Doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor, drive to Bay Street to get a home quote, swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns by 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Gentlemen, to ZLive. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, where we are speaking with guests from Doctors Hospital who are illuminating us about something which I confess I was not too aware of. But I'm happy that they're here to help us become aware of it. And that is something called interstitial cystitis. I think I almost got that.
You got it.
And we're speaking with Dr. DeRosier and Dr. Jan Martin. And Dr. Martin, as I come to understand, there are many things that ail us that we can prevent by way of nutrition. There are many things that ail us that we can cure or minimize the challenge with by way of nutrition. Talk to us about nutrition around this issue of interstitial cystitis.
Wonderful. You got it again.
Got it again. That's what learn. That's called learning.
It's called learning. And you know, we must never stop learning, because life never stops teaching. And this is a teachable moment for you and others listening in today.
Yes, ma'am.
And so it's a pleasure for me to talk about us making food our medicine. And food is the medicine for the body. Dr. DeRozier talked about inflammation, the inflammatory processes that occur between this layer that protects the gut mucosa from the bladder mucosa. And what happens in IC, interstitial cystitis, is that, as she said, that sometimes it's disrupted and inflammatory processes occur. So food can cause inflammation, and we know that. Mm-hmm. Simply because our gut is made up really of the pH of our gut should be between 1.5 and 3.5. Now, what is that? That's the acidic temperature levels in our gut. And the higher that level, the acid in our gut is, then the more inflammation that occurs in our system. And that comes really from sometimes food, the types of foods we choose can cause inflammation in the gut, which moves into other parts of the body. Gut health, in the gut, we produce 90% of serotonin. So what is serotonin? It's really a neurotransmitter that sends messages, nerve cells from the brain and throughout the body. And serotonin plays a key role in the bodily functions of mood, sleep, digestion, healing, bone health, and so forth. And so why is food important? Because a lot of patients who've been diagnosed with interstitial cystitis complain about certain foods that cause burning in the stomach or inflammation, inflammatory processes. Sometimes stress can also be related to inflammation in the body that causes these processes as well. Studies have shown that 90% of patients with interstitial cystitis / bladder pain report sensitivity to certain foods. And some of those foods that increase or worsen the symptoms are high in pH levels, high in acid or potassium, or the potassium content and of the urine. And so it affects the potassium in the urine, which activates the pain receptor bladder. So if the food then is a high in acid, certain foods high in acidic foods are like your grapefruits, your oranges, your pineapple, strawberries. What they've found with these studies is that certain foods that causes the increase in pain, bladder pain, and symptoms of interstitial cystitis patients can be eliminated through introducing an elimination diet. And they've come up with 4 C's in the food groups that persons who are diagnosed with interstitial cystitis, they should eliminate, and then eliminate it for about 2 to 3 weeks or even 4 weeks, and then slowly reintroduce these foods to see if they trigger the pain sensors or inflammation in the body. And some of those foods are your carbonated beverages, caffeines, chocolate. Of course, chocolate fits into the caffeine in all forms, and citrus products, as I mentioned, that are high in vitamin C. And of course, we need our vitamin C. And so there's foods that you can get additional vitamin C from without getting those, without increasing the acid in the gut and thereby moving into the bladder.
And meats, I understand too, would tend to be a high protein products are high in acid as well?
That's right. Those are the processed sandwich meats like the bologna, the ham, the salami, all cold cuts. Because as a matter of fact, all cold cuts are high in salt because they have to
preserve them.
Right. And so with the preservation, you increase the salt content, which increases the inflammatory processes in the gut, which then transfers down throughout the body. And your dairy products as well, condiments like chili and horseradish, salad dressings, soy sauce, vinegar.
There goes our meal.
There goes your meal.
We know we got no meat.
Well,
too much salt.
Well, what you're looking for when you are diagnosed with interstitial cystitis is to increase fruits that are high in calcium. And you want to choose the complex carbohydrates, the whole grain foods, proteins like fish and poultry and eggs, nuts and almonds. Really, what researchers are finding that persons who adopt a Mediterranean meal plan, they tend to have less symptoms or less triggers from those type foods. And those are the fruits like bananas, blueberries, all the berry group, melons, prunes, pears. And when you're looking at avocados, asparagus, broccoli, peas, mushrooms, spinach, definitely your whole grains. And with your proteins, you can eat lamb, but they're recommending that you cut back on the red meat and increase your poultry, fish, and eggs.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, and when we look at seasoning our foods, it's recommended that we go for the fresh herbs and spices and the natural butters like peanut butter, almond butter. You can eat a healthier meal just by choosing foods from the Mediterranean meal plan.
You know, I joke about there goes this and there goes that, but my own experience has been when you get your nutrition right, like the way you feel, the energy you have, the people tend to look at you and they go, boy, your skin looks better, you look younger. It has positive impact on your quality of life.
It certainly does, because as I started off by saying, food is our medicine. Mm-hmm. And when food is broken down into the body, if you choose a healthier meal plan, such as the Mediterranean meal plan, such as all of those foods I just mentioned earlier, those foods, they're full of the nutrients and minerals and vitamins that our bodies need to build new tissue in the body. And those are not inflammatory foods. Those foods, your body sucks that up. It loves those foods. And so it helps to regenerate new cells, new tissue that is healthy and that prevents illness. And so you look youthful. Yes. You feel stronger.
I'm told, Dr. Martin, that sugar is one of the inflammation inducers. Like if you're drinking a lot of sugary this or eating a lot of sugary that tends also to elevate inflammation in the body. Is that so?
Yes, it does. It does, because sugar or anything, any sweet drinks, you're looking at your sweet drinks, you're looking at foods, your desserts that are high in sugar. Those are high glycemic index foods. Right? So the drink is like a high glycemic. So the more sugar that results from the food, then the more inflammation you're going to get and the more gut problems you're going to have, more inflammation, more reflux, gastritis, just feeling not so well in your stomach. But all that transfers and trickles throughout the body. So sugar is an inflammatory food. And when we talk about sugar, we're not only speaking about the sugar, the white sugar or the brown sugar or the stevia. We're talking about the foods that are made of the white flour and all of these additional stuff that we put in the desserts that we call high sugar foods and the drinks as well, the artificial sweeteners and the sweetened drinks. All of that causes poor gut health, which transfers down into your bladder if it passes that barrier that Dr. DeRozier mentioned.
Dr. DeRozier, if somebody is manifesting with symptoms, first, what would they be manifesting? And then what should they do? Who should they contact? Where should they go?
So great question. So symptoms are going to be what we discussed earlier. So a sensation of recurrent urinary tract infection, urgency, frequency. Normal urination for a 24-hour period is really, you know, between 4 and 6. Typically, if you're going more than 8, it already starts to become a sign that there may be something that's going on. Oftentimes, it's just going to be overactive bladder. That tells you they're going to the bathroom 10 times an hour, you know, 5 to 6 times an hour, 40 times in a day. That really should be a telltale sign that there's something going on.
That's disruptive.
It's very disruptive, and not only disruptive to activities, but disruptive to sleep, disruptive to how patients function throughout the day. I think the first line really should be, let's get that information out to your primary care physician, speak to someone whom you trust. And then from there, you know, they will start the initial workup, evaluate to make sure that, you know, and they'll do the initial workup and then, you know, send you to see a urogynecologist, urologists are well-trained at this. Urogynecologists are well-trained in this as well. I think a lot of women, especially who are of reproductive, in their reproductive years, may not necessarily have a separate primary care physician. So OBGYNs tend to sort of, you know, to fill in that gap for them. So speaking with your OBGYN, you're having these symptoms, you know, although interstitial cystitis affects about 5% of 2 to 5% of the population, certainly seen more in females, we can also see it in males. So this is not just a female problem. We can certainly see it in male patients as well. Seeking help with your first line. Obviously, as a urogynecologist, I'm happy to see, and I want to get the information out there. I would love for them to see me. But I think it's always nice to sort of get an opinion from your primary care physician who will be aware of it. They'll tell you, you know, this is what I know about it, and these are the people whom I think you should be seeing.
And generally speaking, if a proper diagnosis is done, which I understand you to have said means doing that culture examination.
The diagnosis actually is a little more in detail. So interstitial cystitis is a clinical diagnosis. And so, we are looking at the full picture. We want to make sure that, you know, that we're not seeing blood in the urine. We want to make sure that we're not missing, a stone or another structural abnormality within the bladder. So in those patients, we'll want to, you know, at some point we may do a cystoscopy to look inside of the bladder. There are telltale signs that we can tell within the bladder where you have an inflammatory process. You can see something called terminal hematuria. You may see Hunter's ulcer. So these are all things that we'd be looking from a cystoscopy where we look into the bladder. It also allows us to sort of stage where they are in the disease process. Patients can, disease can occur at any point. So they may have had this for, you know, 10, 15 years, and now we're towards the tail end of what they're manifesting versus somebody who's in the earlier phase of their, of the disease for them.
Is fatality attached to this?
No. So this is, it's not bladder cancer, and it doesn't increase your risk of bladder cancer. But it certainly is at when left unchecked, as the bladder becomes more fibrotic, it does increase the it does increase the potential of having incomplete bladder emptying or going into what we call urinary retention, where you can't empty your bladder because your bladder is not able to function normally. It doesn't have the ability to have the elasticity to fill up and then contract and empty the bladder appropriately. When that happens, it poses a risk to having the flow that from the kidney through the ureters down into the bladder that's normally going down. You then pose the risk of having things go in the opposite direction up towards the kidney, and then that runs the risk of a kidney or an upper GU tract injury. That's rare, but certainly we wouldn't want to miss something like that. That's a never occurrence, right? So we would want to make sure that we're assessing patients for that.
Okay, so one of my texters is asking me to spell this long, troublesome word, but let me tell them first that another word term for this is painful bladder syndrome.
Yeah. And right. You know what? I'm happy to forward. We put together a quick little PowerPoint, which we thought would be a part of the presentation. But we're happy to send that to you. You can post that, or I think that
sure,
might be helpful.
Sure, I'm happy to send it. I ought to send it to anybody who wants to text me and get it from me.
But so the spelling is INTERST. ITIAL, interstitial cystitis, CYSTITIS.
Okay. Now, Dr. DeRosier, treatment. What does treatment for this anomaly entail?
So our treatment is multimodal, right? So we want to incorporate a healthy eating, healthy behaviors. We know that stress plays a large role in terms of when we're having flares for this disease process. So incorporating ways that we manage stress is going to be important. We utilize pelvic floor therapy, and I think it's very helpful for our IC patients. Of course, working with a nutritionist, someone who can kind of, and behavioral therapist, somebody who can bring two components together. And then there are medications that help with that, medications that sort of calm the bladder. One that I love to use is hydroxyzine. It's an anti-inflammatory. It decreases mast cell degranulation. I mean, suffice it to say that it helps to decrease the inflammatory process. So we have several medications that do that. And we have medications that also help to relax the bladder so that the bladder is not having as many contractions as well. So those fall into under the category of the anticholinergics or the beta simple mimetics. Things like Vesicare, oxybutynin, all of those are so helpful. And then, of course, there are more advanced treatments because this is a disease process that can progress over time. So as the disease process is progressing, we have additional things that we can do, interventions that we can incorporate to help with control of symptoms.
So, and clearly for people who present with this, who have this issue, Doctors Hospital is saying we have expertise, we have the means to address or to help you deal with this issue, and people like yourselves are there for that purpose.
Yeah,
definitely. Just before we sign off, Mr. Lang, I'd just like to reiterate the importance of diet with interstitial cystitis, and that when persons go to see Dr. DeRosier, they maybe would want to, prior to seeing her, start a food diary to see if food is triggering some of the symptoms that they may be having with their bladder pain or the frequent urination. Because we know that food is linked, certain foods, those high pH value foods, those acidic foods that I mentioned earlier, are linked, and research is showing that food is heavily linked to the triggers of the symptoms of interstitial cystitis. And so to start a food diary and to monitor when you have flare-ups, what happens when you eat tomatoes? What happens when you drink a soda? the coffee regularly, and that would help us to guide you on the food elimination meal plan.
Well, ladies, thank you very, very much for very helpful and important information. You got to come back and talk to us some more. But please send the presentation. I'm already getting texts about it.
Wonderful.
Our pleasure. Okay. Looking forward to it.
Yes, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We've been speaking with Dr. DeRosier and Dr. Martin from Doctors Hospital about IC interstitial cystitis. And we'll take a break for news. When we come back, we have another special guest we'll be talking to. We'll be back after this news break.
Your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns by 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so at any of the following numbers: 323-625-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. I have another special guest today who I happen to know a little bit more closely than I wanted to for all the hours I spent studying in a program that he's going to be talking about. But we have with us today Mr. Miguel Pratt from the Bahamas Institute of Financial Services. Well, welcome, Brother Pratt.
Hey, good day, my good man. It's such a pleasure to be back here. The Honorable.
I'm glad you're only back interviewing me. I'm glad I'm not back doing anything what I was doing before, right?
Yeah, something like that. But I have my good friends with me from the University of Bangor.
Yes.
I have Lisa Jones.
Hi, I know you've Lisa, met. Welcome.
Yes, and I have the director, Mr. Stephen Jones, no relation.
Okay.
And my boss, the one and only Miss Kim Bodie. She's a host too.
Oh, you, Naya, you do that to me. Oh, Madam Bodhi, how are you?
I am wonderful, and I was hoping to get, you know, a nice little hug now that we can.
Yeah, ma'am, one of the most, I'm in Freeport at the moment, but if they told me you were coming, I was going to fly over so I could just, so I could look in your face.
No, and not only me, but then, you know, Lisa came.
Oh, Lisa, yes, Lisa, welcome again. Yeah. It's good to have you here with us. I'm happy that I'm on the other side of the program now.
You sure you're giving Miguel a job? I'm not ready to get rid of him yet. Too many good things happening.
No. He's still too valuable. But yes. Welcome as a product of the program. I'm delighted to discuss it with yourselves.
Lisa, you
could
hear. Hold on a minute, Shivago. I need to give Lisa.
Okay.
Headphones.
She needs some headphones, eh? Mm-hmm.
I was saying,
hi, Lisa. How come? Welcome back. Welcome back home.
Yeah, exactly.
She's Bahamian.
I am, definitely.
Yes, yes.
It's my 13th visit to the Bahamas. It's a pleasure to be here. Yes.
And very meaningful visits, because those of us who have had the benefit of completing this wonderful Masturbation program are grateful that you all hooked up with Biff to do this.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. It was a very, very rewarding and valuable relationship that started, you know, Shivago, in 2011 when we host the world for the first time, the World Conference of Banking Institutes, and Bangor University was our major sponsor. I think when I told you about them the first time we visited, when I got their sponsorship note, I almost fell out the chair. Because, you know, when you're hosting something like a conference here in the Bahamas and you're bringing people from all over the world, it is so important that you put your best foot forward. And something like that can be very, very costly on a small institute like the Bahamas Institute of Financial Services, back then the Bahamas Institute of Bankers. So it's wonderful to be on your show. It is also wonderful to have them here in the Bahamas again. And we have a new person with us this time. Tanya isn't here. We have Stephen Jones, another Jones.
Oh, man. Yeah. Jones in another place today.
So Stephen is going to be doing a lot of the talking. Because we are going to, while they're here for a conference on Thursday, he is going to be introducing a new MBA in financial crime and compliance.
Wow.
So you know how important that is. So I know that our industry persons are going to be very, very excited about it. And I think they're already getting some response from the Bahamas for this program. So I'm going to leave it over to you to ask your questions.
Well, again, I mean, you know, I have a son who just finished university, and I keep saying to him, I said, no, don't stop. Go get your MBA.
Mm-hmm.
And add to that finance degree you got.
Right. Oh, yes.
It provides such a foundation for higher understanding in these areas and so forth. And Bangor University, you know, I have an MBA from Bangor University. I tell people I'm a chartered banker, you know.
That's right.
That the program met every one of the requirements for me. It increased my understanding. It improved my knowledge base. It created an opportunity for professional development. And it challenged me. I mean, literally challenged me to stretch to be a better professional. And I should tell you all, some of the things that I learned in the school, I've already been actually a facilitator and teacher of at the university level in some module courses that we've done.
Great, okay. I can't see you, Shivago, but I can hear you. And I'm sitting here looking at the Tribune for today. And
The Guardian.
Make sure if it's the Guardian say so, because it's the Guardian radio.
Yeah.
In the Guardian, there's an article which is very much about our new MBA. You did the Chartered Banker MBA, Shivago, and as you correctly identified, you got the Chartered Banker status as well. And we're very excited to launch here in the Caribbean, in Bahamas, our new MBA, Financial Crime and Compliance. In the business section of the Nassau Guardian today, it talks about Fred Mitchell, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, urging the European Union representatives to fix the vexing blacklistings. This MBA in Financial Crime and Compliance is going to be able to banks themselves to regulators here in the Bahamas, but also around the world, and give the toolkit to help individuals and organizations. I'll just speak for a little longer, Shivago, and then let you ask a question.
Sure. Please, no, go right ahead.
I know you say this is the Guardian Radio. I'm going to mention something beginning with T. I won't fill the word in, but in the business section, they talk about career opportunities. Guys and gals, there are already opportunities here. The role of the compliance and money laundering reporting firm is one job advert. Another job advert in this paper is about business compliance manager. So just looking, and I only got the paper as soon as I walked in here, Shivago, there are three real jobs already available here. The RF Group, Pictet Bank and Trust, and and somebody else. And the whole idea is how to, when financial services are diversifying, on page 2 of the business section, it talks about crowdfunding. And there are so many alternative ways of raising funding these days that the regulators have not necessarily caught up with yet, not only here in the Bahamas, but around the world. And the challenge is, if we have a carrot, the stick, of course, works. We see in the news regularly there are banks around the world being fined hundreds of millions of dollars for non-compliance. It's not good for the bottom line, it's not good for shareholders, it's not good for company reputation. And the idea is that this new program in MBA Banking Finance, Financial Crime and Compliance, will help individuals and organizations to be aware of these risks and address them before they become headlines in the media. So very exciting time to be here launching it and to come in to talk with you and to find in the newspaper four or five things which are all about compliance. And the third thing it's about is, compliance.
And working with financial institutions as I do, and I know any number of, and Ms. Bodie and those do, there's no question that there are numerous opportunities in this area of compliance, of financial security, and these kinds of things that once you're trained and equipped in, that there you can take advantage of those opportunities. But for those people who may be interested, what is it that they need to take that step, for instance?
What a great question, Shivago. And if anybody is listening thinking that we've planted these questions, we haven't. But there is a great opportunity tomorrow, Tuesday, 1st of November, at 6 o'clock. There's a briefing on the Chartered Banker MBA, which is the one you took, Shivago, and also on our new MBA Financial Crime and Compliance. A briefing about it and also a sample lecture. I'll be talking about the importance of knowing your customer and the customer's journey. It's at the Old Lucianos, now it's the Crypto Isle on East Bay Street. I'll repeat these details at the end for anybody who wants to get a pen and paper or in the more modern way write these things down in their phone. Just before the new bridge, admission's free. And in there you'll be able to hear about these programs. At the moment you are one of 69, Shivago, 69 successful graduates on the program. We have 34 currently on the Chartered Banker MBA, and our financial crime and compliance is, if I may say, it's going gangbusters in terms of interest around the world. There's one bank whose name I won't mention who has more than 7,000 employees looking solely at compliance. That's their job. It's a big career opportunity for people, Shivago.
Lisa, you know, you guys came into the Bahamas, you came to my show, Graham, and it was from there you and I started a conversation that led to my getting that MBA.
That's right, yes. I remember it very well. We didn't expect to come on the radio and recruit a student, but, you know, take it.
But that's the way things work here in the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So this is, and I mentioned it only to say to folk, that, you know, it was that seamless a process for me in making that initial inquiry and then getting the follow-up with the information that I required and then processing the application and doing all the necessary to a point where within 2 years, I had achieved this this objective, this aim, this goal that I had set for myself. And I like to tell people I did this as a person working and doing all the other things I did. And some days I sat in McDonald's finishing up my paper.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it was a delightful journey, an educational journey that I am truly, truly grateful for.
Oh, that's great to receive that feedback. And actually, it's not unique. We've just come here. We were there for the Caribbean Association of Banks conference, and we were delighted to see six students as well at that conference. And again, they couldn't speak highly enough of the experience that they were having and how accessible the program is and how applicable it is. And, you know, that students can apply the knowledge directly into their daily work from day one. So, you know, it's great to get that feedback. Thank you.
And this cybersecurity and compliance area is especially noteworthy now, because, I mean, a financial system is only as good as its integrity. And if that integrity is compromised for security reasons, for reasons of fraud and corruption and these kinds of things, then the system doesn't just affect the people who work in it. It affects all of us who use this system to undertake all our transactions, all our expenditure and these kinds of things that make our living a living. And so now you're saying that folks who want to get this specialized knowledge have a path to do so right here in the Institute of Financial Services. Is that right?
Yes. That's right,
Chivago. And yeah, we mentioned about the launch when we attended the World Congress of Banks conference in 2011. So it's a global program, but it was launched in the Bahamas. And we're really delighted to be here because the new Financial Crime and Compliance MBA started this week. So we're here promoting it. It's the first place we're really promoting it again, launching this new program in the Bahamas.
What are the requisites, prerequisites for being in the program?
Okay, it's a similar entry to the Chartered Banker MBA. So it's really, we look for a couple of years work experience and an undergraduate degree, but we do have a mature student pathway as well. So people that may not have that first degree can also apply. But it's we review people, as you know, on a case-by-case basis. I think when you came to us, you'd already had some postgraduate modules. Mm-hmm. So we offered you some exemptions. Mm-hmm. So if you're a chartered accountant, or you may have an MBA already, we get a number of those people, or very senior people, what you've done previously. And there could be a number of exemptions for this new program as well from the management modules.
Yes. And the folks who, the program takes how long to complete?
So the new program will take 24 months, and that's because of how it's set up. We've partnered with an organization called Manchester CF. So they provide training in this area. And so we use those units, and 12 of those combined offer financial intelligence specialist. So as the Chartered Banker MBA is a dual qualification, well, the financial crime and compliance is as well. It's an MBA and the professional designation of financial intelligence specialist.
Okay. And I remember when I was looking at the program, you made available, there were some scholarship opportunities. Is that the case with this new program?
Yes. So with our partnerships with the Bahamas Institute, we're able to offer scholarships in the name of their founding father,
T. Basville Donaldson.
Mm-hmm. So we have been running those for a number of years. We've also just come from the Ministry of Education, and we've been talking to them and having the programs listed, which is really important with NACAB.
Yes.
So we're hoping to conclude that very soon. And they were very receptive as well to the program and to offer scholarships as well for local people to help fund the program.
And are there limits to how many candidates you can receive in the program?
There's no limits. It's an online program. Mm-hmm. So Stephen, in his his other modules has up to 600, I think, but they're not online programs, but there's no limit, no.
Okay, so folks, you heard it. So, you know, there's opportunity for you to get in there. I was especially delighted to hear you say, because this is oftentimes one of those things that kind of punch people in the gut when you mention prerequisites and you say, well, you have to have a first degree. And somebody goes, you know, but I've been working in this area of life for a long time. I don't have any first degree, but there is an opportunity for such people to get in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there surely is. And the interesting thing is W. Chivago celebrated its 10th anniversary. And we had a logo that said one program, Chartered Banker MBA, 10 years, 100 countries and 1,000 students. And you were one of them. But as I may have mentioned a few minutes ago, there are 69 graduates from the Bahamas. You see how important the Bahamas is, 69 out of just over 1,000. So we've been very pleased with the response from the Bahamas, both financial institutions, individuals interested to develop themselves. As Lisa just said, in the structure of financial crime and compliance, there are 4 management modules. So you yourself, Chivago, could come back and you would get credits for 1/3 of the program, and that would be reflected in the price. So I look forward to seeing you on the program again, Chivago.
Why do I get the impression that you were just like reading my mind? or planting something in my mind.
Yeah, planting the seed of education. We've just come, as Lisa said, from the Ministry of Education, and you know, education is very satisfying. I think you just mentioned, Chivago, that you do some teaching and all. It's a very satisfying activity to see people grow, develop, and see them in later life, and see how they've been able to take the tools and build confidently. So the opportunity for people, it's an online program. We were online from the very beginning before COVID, so we know how to do it. We know how to teach online. We know how to support online. We know how to assess online. And the opportunity to see us face-to-face is Ciano's on now the new crypto aisle on East Bay Street, just before the new bridge at 6 o'clock. Nice. Be there or be square.
and just before you go, one of the things that is useful for people to know is that while, you know, we talk about this in the context of financial institutions and the financial system, this degree has application across the business world.
Yes.
Because financial crimes can happen across the business world. Compliance issues can happen and be required across the business world. True or not?
Absolutely. I mean, the amazing thing is the conference is in the Hyatt Bahama, and on the ground floor there, of course, is a very large casino. The gaming industry also needs to focus on compliance. So you hit it right on the button there, Chivago. It's an industry, it's a cross-industry need to understand the challenges. And the challenges come not so much from understanding the regulations. Anyone can read the regulations. It's actually about making sure that our colleagues in the company comply with them. And individual colleagues often, for whatever reason, will try and circumvent them. And we've got to have systems in place. We've got to create a culture. And we've got to rod stick. We need a carrot to encourage them to do that. And as I said a few minutes ago, already lots of jobs in the area of anti-money laundering and compliance in your newspapers here. Great time to start studying, Chivago.
And where that knowledge becomes even the more valuable, I find, having dealt with it in some of these places that I have served, is on the cutting edge of that discretion that needs to be made about, is this a breach? Is this transaction, does this person, institution violate? And so somebody has to make that judgment. And so what are they going to draw on to make that judgment? Knowledge and experience, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about artificial intelligence, and can we devolve all this to artificial intelligence? At the end of the day, it's people to people. And the machine will just say no. But actually, if you have if there's any doubt, the machine will make the decision. No, if you have the human touch and understand people, you're not going to turn a blind eye to what's required. You can apply the regulations sensitively.
Yeah. Well, once again, let's let people know where they can face to face show up to get more information.
Okay, this is the third plug. It's the same plug. It's about a briefing on the Chartered Banker MBA, on the MBA Financial Crime and Compliance. It's 6 o'clock tomorrow night. There's a sample lecture. I'll be talking about the customer journey. It's at the old Luciano's. It's now called the Crypto Isle. How appropriate is that for financial crime and compliance? It's on East Bay Street, just before the new bridge. Admission is free. We look forward to seeing you all there. It'd be great to see you as well, Shivago.
You gotta catch me next time, and Miss Bodhi, when I'm in Nassau next, I'm coming looking for you.
Most certainly, I'd love to have you, because you know we're doing some transition and we're doing some upgrading. We're looking at a lot of new areas where we can advance our training. You know, our foundation and we are built on quality education and also offering specific training. For industry persons, so that they could remain on the cutting edge. As Lisa mentioned, we are living in a global environment, and so we want to make sure that the training that we provide for our persons in the Bahamas is on the cutting edge.
Okay, well, again, Lisa, it was good to have you on the show, and I'll be back at home.
Yes.
And I look forward to seeing you soon enough.
Yes, and it was brilliant to be here. Thank you so much.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabara Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good
for you. Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns by 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, I do these Far Back Friday shows, and you know, we play the music, and every now and again I get a text or something from people about it, right? So the other day I got a text from someone says, "Good morning. On my way to work, listening to your show theme about storytelling, it touched my heart. Keep doing what you're doing." This is a mail now, right? So sometimes you do these things and you do it as a matter of course, but you never know. I've had occasions where people told me like they've pulled on the side of the road, stressed out, and they spend the whole 2 hours listening to the show and how it was and made a difference to their state of mind and so forth. And I just mention it because sometimes in this life you're doing things and you don't know the impact that it might be having on people. And so if it's good work and it's a good thing, it's not troublesome, keep doing what you're doing. So a couple of things before we wrap up the show, right? First thing is, now, I am not going to, anyway, let me just say it. So I pored over the Financial Administration and Audit Act. I pored over the Financial Management Act. I know the elements of the Constitution that have to do with the Consolidated Fund. And I find no provision in the law explicitly prohibits a government from making a decision to expend public funds on something that might be regarded as a partisanly political. I couldn't find any explicit anything to do so. Now, does that mean no such thing exists? No, that does not mean that, because others who could have a more comprehensive knowledge of the law or something could find one. I found a provision that held accountable public officers for permitting expenditure for, listen, this is what it says, for some inappropriate purpose, payment. That's what it says, inappropriate. Now, the problem I had with that was because public funds on a partisan political event activity is clearly inappropriate, right? I think even the Prime Minister and his colleagues concede that by the extent to which there's reimbursement to the public purse for what eventually was considered a political travel, and even the Prime Minister determining to pay his own expenses says that, you know what, at the end of the day, this was a political purpose, and so therefore they had to, by that, concede that it was not appropriate to do so. But the problem is, while all of us, in the spirit of the operation of the public service, knows that you cannot spend public money on partisan political events and activities, everybody knows that. I mean, you know that in your heart of hearts, that can't, it ain't unlawful. I can't see the provision that makes it unlawful. That don't mean it does not exist, because Shivago Lang is not the authority and on these things such that it could not be the case. I just couldn't find anything. But that provision that said you can hold a public officer accountable for proceeding with an inappropriate payment of public expenditure out of the Consolidated Fund. The problem with that is there's no definition of inappropriate payment. So what's an inappropriate payment? Who gets to make that judgment? So when you leave it, you know, it becomes just another one of those nebulous things that don't get you anywhere. But this needs to be corrected. It really should be. That there is not explicit rules in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas about that, that needs to be corrected. That needs to be fixed. That does need to be fixed. Surely in the Financial Administration and Audit Act, surely in the Financial Management Act, we could amend the law to ensure that it explicitly indicates that no public expenditure shall be made for any partisan political purpose. That's a simple provision. A simple provision. No public expenditure should be made for wholly partisan political purpose. Now, you might give a caveat to that, because if you have campaign finance reform, you might have campaign finance provisions that allow for the public purse to fund public campaigns where there is no means by those parties to be funded any other way than by the public purse. There are people who do that. There are countries where there are countries in the world where the government funds and can fund political parties. And you could say that those parties would be engaging in partisan political purposes. But what the government is funding is the democratic process of campaigning for the holding of public office toward the advancement of governance. And so that's possible. So you can have whatever caveats you need, but surely the Commonwealth of the Bahamas in the 21st century can have laws that make it clear that no public funds shall be spent for any partisan political purpose, saving and except for maybe these carve-outs where we agree that that is necessary for the advancement and support of democracy in the country. So whether the law was broken or not broken, surely this space, undefined space, could benefit from definition, and therefore this particular event and episode could have informed us in that way. Okay? So that's the first thing. At this point, producer, let's take that last break and pay our respects to our sponsors, because, you know, they're the ones who make it happen. And then we come back and I'll finish up this last point. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabaga Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, Doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor, drive to Bay Street to get a home quote, swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns by 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
Calling all Solomon's Fresh Market and Exuma Markets customers. It's here! My Solomon Smart Rewards, the ultimate loyalty program. And easy. Shop at Solomon's Fresh Market or Exuma Markets. Scan your card at the register to earn and redeem rewards. Every dollar you spend equals 1 point, and rewards can be earned and redeemed in all participating locations. Don't be left out. Everyone is invited to start saving at amlfoods.com.
I'm not afraid. Stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call on these remaining moments of the show, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You would have heard a previous guest mention that Minister Fred Mitchell, Minister of Foreign Affairs, urges the European Union representatives to fix the vexing problem of these blacklists. He says, we are committed to trying to meet the standards, but we get the impression that every time you try to meet the standard, the goalpost gets shifted down the road and there's something else you have to do. Hear us loudly and clearly. This is a vexing problem that you have to fix because it is causing damage in our societies and it cannot be fixed unilaterally. It has to be to be fixed by us meeting together to decide what the standards are going to be and not moving the goalpost every time. Every comment that was made that I just read by the minister is an entirely appropriate comment. It's an entirely appropriate comment. There is no question that it seems like the Bahamas and others are just chasing a moving target when it comes to blacklisting. But let me tell you, the reality is this, right? The European Union and them, and these are more the technocrats than the politicians, right? These are the technocrats more than the politicians. But in the European Union, those bureaucrats and technocrats and politicians, those politicians are taking up politics, and these technicians and bureaucrats are taking up bureaucracy. And their interest, they see. Let me help you out. There's a gentleman who teaches the difference between an infinite and a finite game. Okay, an infinite and a finite game. In a finite game, he points out that you know who the players are, you know what the rules are, and you know what the goals are, right? But in an infinite game, you know who some of the players are. The rules are changing all the time. And the goal is really not to win or lose. The goal is to stay in the game. So baseball, basketball, these are, as he puts it, finite games, right? You know who the players are. Boston Celtics, Los Angeles Lakers, 5 players on each side. You know what the rules are. You can't dribble with the ball without dribbling, and you can't take up the ball, stop dribbling the ball and take more than 2 steps without shooting and shoot and then shoot. You have all these rules, right? And what's the objective? Score more points at the end of the game than the opponent. You know that. That's a finite game. In an infinite game, like the example he uses is Vietnam. In Vietnam, the Viet Cong, winning for them wasn't even practical to the extent that you are not going to beat as Vietnamese army, an American army with all that arsenal that it had. You are not going to do that. But what you could do is you can frustrate them by staying in the game as long as you could so that they get frustrated and quit. Right? That's what happened. You're trying to frustrate them into quitting. And eventually that's what America did. America said, you know what? We've been in here long enough. We're gone. Same thing in Afghanistan. right? Same thing in, was the last place they've been the other day and pulled the troops. Because, you know, people who are fighting for their lives can play the infinite game. People who don't ain't fighting for their lives, but fighting for Islam, they might be pride. They can't play an infinite game. They won't play a finite game. They won't win or lose. They won't win and get out. The European Union is playing an infinite game with these countries, our countries. They're playing an infinite game. Let me tell you why. Because there's no issue fundamentally or about money laundering and terrorist financing. They are important, and they are things that they hope you can get benefits out of, but that's not the objective. The objective is, I want my tax dollars to stop fleeing my country into these other countries. That's the bottom line. That's what, and that's, the problem with that is, it isn't an issue or the question of us stopping people from avoiding paying taxes in their jurisdiction by what we do. The fact of the matter is, the people are seeking to not pay as much taxes in their jurisdiction because of what they are doing. But they are not going to stop doing what they're doing in the way of taxing people, because they have these expenses that they say they got to pay, and they got to tax these people. And that high tax is causing the people to say, I have to be able to organize my affairs in such a way that I can minimize, not evade, but minimize my tax impact. And so they look to jurisdictions like ours, who have a sovereign right to decide, this is how I tax my society and the people who live here and operate here. You have a right to do it. The other day in the United States of America, the Republican Congress decided America's corporate tax was uncompetitive, too high, and they lowered the corporate tax, lowered it. So if they could lower their tax, well, why can't I have a low tax if that's what I choose to do? Because these folks know that they cannot, on a competitive basis, be more tax competitive than you can. You are not tax-free. This country is not a tax-free haven. That's nonsense. Absolute crap. You live here and I live here. We pay taxes. We pay value-added taxes, we pay custom duties, we pay payroll taxes, more deductions, but we pay taxes, stamp taxes we pay in this country. We pay taxes in the Bahamas. Things here are very expensive. How do they get so expensive? You got a dollar something tax on the gasoline. So we're not tax-free. This is not a tax-free haven. We don't charge all the other taxes some of these jurisdictions have, but we are not tax-free. Unfortunate, competitive relative to the European Union. And so long as that difference exists, to the extent somebody is wise, to the extent somebody is thinking through its tax impact and how it can organize itself to lower and minimize that tax impact, they see jurisdictions like ours as proper to operate out of, just like the Americans wanted to make sure that people would choose their jurisdiction over the European Union because their corporate tax is lower. So they have an infinite game going on that isn't going to end, because their appetite for trying to keep their taxes where they are without lowering those taxes so that people could find it more advantageous to stay at home is not going away. They're not going to do it. So they're going to continue pressing this infinite changeable rules game of blacklisting, because it's a way for them to stay in the game. Keep enough people thinking, oh, you know what? I know if I'm going to go over to these countries, or maybe I should get out of these countries. That's what they want. And they want to exhaust these people and exhaust us into giving in. That's why. So I understand the minister's plea. But them folks, this is a tax game. This ain't no money laundering game. This ain't no AML game. And there's no room we're going to sit in with them to establish any standard that won't change a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, so long as their tax environment is very high and uncompetitive. And that, my friend, is unfortunate. Because that's where we are. And the reason why they do the list is because they can. because nobody can stop them. And the reason why they do the list is because they are citizens who may be clients of ours, who may be know and believe and are concerned that that listing can impact their assets and wealth and so forth. And so what we do in an infinite game is know your opponent. You know your opponent, and you have to remain agile, and you have to remain flexible, and you have to conserve your resources so that you can play yourself. You've been listening to ZLive. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I trust and hope that you have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.